like about Dale's presentation were those incredible pictures. Especially that logic model looks so clean and ordered and structured. Anybody who knows me knows I love order and structure, a little bit on the OCD side. The reality is that actually really trying to create these integrated systems is very, very, very messy. And so the reason that in California we have chosen the Institute for Healthcare Improvement Breakthrough Series Learning Collaborative, the reason we use that model is because it's grounded in a quality improvement framework that really basically kind of acknowledges learning is very, very messy. And you really need to be able to go through the messiness, test some fundamental changes on a small scale in order to be able to move forward. So that's a lot of what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail about these projects that Dale's been referring to. I'll kind of breeze through the methodology pretty quickly because I think a lot of you have heard that in past presentations, but really want to talk with you about what the intervention was. I'm going to talk about Fresno County, talk a little bit about their experience, and then some of the key learning. So we work together so well. We have ESP. We, like, take each other's slides. We actually create the same slides, and then we wind up with exactly alike. But it is important to really kind of recognize how uncoordinated the system is and how it really does start at the payer level. And so if you try to think a little bit about what are some of the changes that are happening, how is California beginning to kind of really create some building blocks? What we do is that we have benefited greatly by what is happening on the federal level. So the ACA has been tremendous in terms of really being able to take all those organizations on the top level, those funders. They all have different missions, visions, leaders, and yet they're all beginning to get organized by the same principles. They're all getting organized by the triple aim. And so as the money comes down, we're still going to have multiple funders. And yet they're beginning to really think about, if you have individuals who have serious mental illness, substance use disorders, and chronic physical health conditions, and you have dollars that go to county mental health that get carved out to take care of their behavioral health, dollars that are going to primary care and dollars to SUD, no entity is actually really fully responsible for the whole health of these individuals. And so one area that we really are learning with, we in the Learning Collaborative think about three different areas of change. The first one is a structural. And so there really has to be the identification of organizations that serve as convening organizations. And I know there's different folks in the room who might be involved in accountable care organizations. When you're starting to do this on the ground level, you're not going to go there because you have to really just be able to think about how do you get started. So the convening organization in our collaborative, for the most part, it's actually the county mental health. Most of those have transitioned to county behavioral health. It also can be the Medi-Cal health plan. And what that convening organization does is that it begins to organize all these various partners that really have to be engaged. So primary care providers, peer providers, wellness agencies, community supports. And it really does kind of a couple of different things. Helps them to shape a vision, helps them to think about their funding and resources, helps to kind of organize an accountability framework, intervenes. These entities don't usually have, you know, kind of wonderful working histories, and so it really helps to try to mitigate some of the relationship issues and build an actual system that has a structure in place where there can be accountability for the whole health of the population that we're working with. The second area of change has to do with practice transformation, and you'll see this slide again. I didn't let Karen know, but it's actually Karen Lincoln's slide. really kind of thinking about the ACA not only puts in place these structural changes, but it says you have to really think about how it is that you change practice. And so these are some of the kind of practice transformation components in the person-centered medical home. And so comprehensive care plans, quality-driven system, comprehensive services, care management, use of health information technology. All of these are actual practices that they're not mastered in any one of the sectors, and they're definitely not mastered across the sectors. So our work really started to think about how is it that you do this not only within your own organization, but across organizations. Third area of change is actually changing the model. So this is another slide from somebody that I've worked with closely, Dr. Mark Avery from the AIM Center. And the collaborative care model that comes from the AIM Center, what they do is they really think about How is the model different? Who do you have to bring in order to be able to work with this system as is, which is very fragmented? And even when, hopefully, the fragmentation decreases, there's still, for our clients with these complex needs and complex issues, they would need additional resources in a model that's going to be able to provide them with whole health. So the change that you see is this care coordinator, and then you see a different role for psychiatrists. And so the care coordinator is the person who really does team with the client. And with the client, they are together really working toward having one comprehensive care plan. We talked about that with practice transformation. And helps them to really go back and forth and have the various entities involved really working toward the development of one comprehensive care plan. So the care coordinator, in some ways, you could see their role as being really, really kind of key, because they're the connective tissue in this fragmented system. I just want to talk about the population consultant. So, you know, for a psychiatrist, we all know that there's a huge shortage of psychiatrists. And so when we think about models for the future, in the way that Dale was talking about, the role for psychiatrists will be different. It's more of an ad hoc consultant. So instead of seeing one patient at a time, they can work very effectively with the care coordinator, and they would be able to look at the whole population. And so their role is not so much working with individuals, but their role is using information technology, which Karen will talk a bit more about, being able to identify, you know, who within this entire population that we're taking care of are the high need individuals, and they're going to be able to kind of guide, give advice to the care coordinator, so the care coordinators are not out there alone. So how do we get there? Because I like these nice kind of organized pictures also. So the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, the Breakthrough Series Learning Collaborative at the California Institute for Behavioral Health, we've been running these collaboratives for 5 years. The Department of Healthcare Services funds them because the state is very, very invested in ensuring that there is a training and technical assistance model to be able to put some kind of containers around all these various initiatives for integration. Our focus areas are recovery, care coordination, and integration. Talked about the organizational partners. I just want to note that while our intention is to have substance use providers as part of our organizational providers, because of the issues around integration between mental health and substance use disorders, the actually creating the integration just between those two sectors can be really challenging. So we invite them to the table, but it was very challenging for our teams to be able to get them to stay there. Peer providers are the other key ingredient, whether you're working with a peer provider organization or individual peer providers, really key to being able to team to create coordinated and integrated care. And the county aims, all the teams had different aims, and yet they are all organized around one umbrella aim. And basically what it is that you want to improve the whole health status. You don't want to just improve folks' recovery. You don't want to just address their substance use disorders. You don't want to address just their chronic physical conditions. So it's really thinking about how do you do system level changes to help individuals achieve that whole health. The methodology and the framework, we introduced this in the last presentation, and so basically model for improvement, quality improvement framework. What I like about it is the simplicity. You answer three basic questions, get super clear about your purpose, what are you trying to accomplish? You get very, very clear about really understanding what are the changes that are going to lead to improvement. This term change, Karen hates this term change. You can think of it as practice interventions, system interventions. What are you going to do that's different that's actually really going to help you achieve that aim? Because we're very good at doing the same old again and again and again. And so the last thing is, how do you know a change is an improvement? Heavy, heavy focus on data. So you're not just making these changes and kind of like, you know, putting up a prayer to God. You are making these changes, and then you have data that is correlated with those changes, so that you are on a monthly basis really looking at, are these changes helping us to achieve that aim? The fuel for the model is the Plan, Do, Study, Act. And so we really focus on doing small-scale testing, and we use that framework for the Plan, Do, Study, Act. This is how I'm framing the intervention of the collaborative. You know, when you think about all the various kind of system and practice changes that have to occur in order to be able to create these integrated systems, it can actually feel very overwhelming. And so For us, what we did was to really organize our changes in 5 different areas. And these have somewhat of a sequence to them. And so the first part is where you really build the organizational relationships. Everyone underestimates how much time that takes. It is a significant amount of time. Sometimes I think that we, you know, kind of breeze through it at the beginning of a 16-month collaborative, and we probably could have spent 8 months on it as compared to really kind of intensively going there for 2 months and then moving forward. Supporting clients' whole health and self-management, you right away need to really be working with those entities around patient-centered care. And so you're really trying to think about how are you helping those entities to understand whole health, because that's not traditionally how they have really kind of looked at their clients. And then how do you support self-management? Because we don't have a workforce that's going to be able to address all of the issues of these clients. And so there has to really be a focus on the client themselves being activated and managing their chronic conditions. The third area is improving day-to-day care coordination to deliver coordinated services. I'm going to go into a little bit of these fundamental care coordination processes. I think it's very, very confusing in this era. We say care coordinator, we say community navigator, we say peer provider, we have all these terms, and that coordination is somewhat the responsibility of all these entities. And yet I think it's very important to get clear about what really specifically does the care coordinator have to do with this population. Then we work on, okay, so you test some of these care coordination processes, but then you really need to think about how does it get integrated into the daily workflow. So, for instance, we talked about a warm handoff earlier today. So if a behavioral health agency is working on a warm handoff and they master it, you might have, you know, 2 or 3 clinicians who are really great at it. But they have to be able to think about how do you go beyond those 2 to 3 clinicians so that it's integrated into the entire organization. And then even more importantly, how does it get become part of the daily workflow, the daily ways that staff work between organizations. And then the last is the spread effect of changes that demonstrate the improvement. We really focus on small scale. So in the beginning, you're working with a target population of anywhere from 100 to 300 individuals. And so there is a lot of work that mostly has to do with social change and communication. When you have used your data and really understood your changes and really feel like you're in a place where these changes are leading to integrated care and you want to move beyond the 1 to 300 people, you have to move into a spread, and that is a process in and of itself. These are some of those fundamental care coordination processes that I talked about earlier. I think it's important to understand that the care coordinator, it's not an emerging role, but organizations have different kind of different backgrounds of the individuals that are doing care coordination. For some, it's a bachelor level social worker. For others, it might be a master's level social worker. Some agencies are trying to have peer providers. Nurse case manager is very common. And so because you have this varying skill, you want to think about the processes as some of these are actually the processes that a care coordinator does. So for instance, outreach and engagement. You know, a care coordinator, even with that variety of backgrounds, they are going to have to really be able to outreach and engage an extremely difficult population to outreach and engage. But that really is going to be their job, because they're then the ones who are ensuring that you have these organizations working in a patient-centered way. They're not going to necessarily be the individuals who are going to be running multidisciplinary clinical care teams, but they're responsible for ensuring that those multidisciplinary clinical care team meetings happen. And so it's quite a difficult job, because it really is this balance of, you know, what is the work that I'm doing? How am I ensuring that I'm doing it in collaboration with the client, so that it's not just the care coordinator making these decisions? And then what is the work that they have to be able to effectively work with providers to do? So this is another challenge I think that happens, is that we think about care coordination as being sort of you're coordinating services, and it gets very confused with case management. You will make no impact using a care coordination strategy if your care coordinator is not actually working with the providers. And so if you have a licensed clinical social worker and they have only worked in a behavioral health organization, they have to get training, because they have to become very, very comfortable working with primary care docs. Because if they're not actually working on the provider level, there will be no change. Because of time, I'm not going to go into all the processes, but you know, you could email me afterwards if you want more information on that. This is just a sampling of the measures. Again, remembering that we have the three, pretty much our 10 teams, pretty much consist of health plans, primary care, and then behavioral health organizations. So we have some measures that it's the responsibility of all of those organizations to collect them. We have other measures that only the mental health agency would collect, substance use, primary care, health plans. So what we do is that we share the responsibility around the data collection, and we share the responsibility around the analysis. But going back to the convening organization, it's that convening organization that's ensuring the data is getting collected, and it's the convening organization that's ensuring that there is cross-organizational analysis of that data. So I'm going to quickly introduce you to one county, Fresno County. They're sort of our little star county, and in California, you know, the size of our counties range. I presented with somebody from Washington State recently, and you know, we were kind of comparing, and so Fresno County has about the same population of Washington State, so a lot of folks. And so they put together their team. You know, as I kind of talked about before, they have the County Department of Behavioral Health, so it's both alcohol and drug as well as mental health. Clinica Sierra Vista is one primary care provider, and then they have a second primary care provider, Ambulatory Care Center. And then really central to their partnership is CalViva, the health plan. And so we have a very, very intentional focus on ensuring that the health plans are there at the table and that their role is very clear. So they had an interesting problem statement, so even though the wording is a little bit small, what they recognized is that they had these stars, and every organization has these stars, these charismatic folks, very smart, really, really, really patient-focused, and they are going to take on the world. They are going to do the care coordination and the integration themselves. And it never, ever, ever works, because it's amazing while they're there, and then they go because they're so phenomenal that they, of course, get recruited by other organizations, and then the system just goes back to where it had been before. So they recognize that as a real problem, and so they said, we need to systematize this integration. We actually do have some of these stars, but it does not matter. Well, and they really focused very quickly on really trying to think about what was in it for every single organization that was involved. So what was in it for the mental health plan, what was in it for the health plan, and what was in it for the primary care provider. Some of those goals overlapped, some were very, very different. You know, so for mental health, it was the high morbidity of their clients. For the health plan, it really had to do with sharing a population that they were very concerned about. For the health plan, it was perinatal population, and they recognized the high costs had to do with, you know, their inability to really address some of the behavioral health problems. And so they really had an incentive to work with behavioral health around integrating care. And then the primary care partner was really invested because they could not get into the behavioral health system. And so, you know, I've got to lots of presentations that talk about the black hole of specialty mental health services, and there's lots of reasons for that. And so primary care said, our most serious and ill patients, they're what gets complicated. So say they have diabetes, the complicating factor normally has to do with their behavior. And they're trying to really think about how is it that they're going to work with an individual who has serious mental illness, potentially substance use disorders, to be able to address some of those problems. And these are some of the key changes that they worked on. I'm going to kind of race through because I am at time right now. But these are similar to the changes that I talked about earlier. Data collection, I already talked about the importance of the convening organization. And I just want to really finish with what their focus was. Actually, let me say, just some of the key learning. So just in summary, the committing to building the organizational relationships, the collective responsibility, but really one accountable organization. Data infrastructure, Karen's going to talk about that in just a moment. Already talked about the QI methodology. Testing fundamental changes, don't tinker. You can't kind of go into this and say, I'll do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then finally, really the sustaining the engaged leadership. And so let me stop there. We'll go into more detail about the data infrastructure, and then I can answer questions at the end. Thanks.